Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really jumping into the world of pediatric genitourinary disorders. This is specifically for you, our future nurses.
Yeah, we want to give you a really solid grasp of this area. It's, you know, unique and pretty important.
Exactly. We're pulling from class notes, reviews, Q&A stuff, basically trying to get you the essential info on the GU system in kids and the conditions you'll likely run into.
Right. Our mission here is pretty straightforward. Give you, as you're studying nursing, a strong foundation in pediatric GU.
We want to explain how it's different from adults, right?
Definitely. And break down the common conditions so they actually make sense, go through the key assessments, and highlight those crucial nursing interventions you'll be doing.
The idea isn't to bury you in facts, but hopefully give you some clarity, maybe a few of those aha moments.
Yeah, build that confidence and understanding.
Okay, so let's start with the basics. How children's systems differ from adults, specifically their kidneys. We know kidneys do a lot, right? Detox, hormones, fluid balance.
Salt dance, yeah. They're real workhorses. Mm-hmm. But, and this is key for you as nurses, kids' physiology is quite different. For starters, their metabolism is way faster.
Which, as our sources point out, means they need more fluid per kilo per day. Think about that.
Yeah. These little bodies need proportionally more water. You'll be calculating those needs, so it's fundamental.
And it's not just intake, is it? Their kidneys aren't fully baked yet.
Exactly. The kidneys and their buffering systems are immature, so they're not great at concentrating urine.
Okay.
And that affects their GFR, the glomerular filtration rate, how well they filter waste. It's different from an adult.
So they handle fluids differently overall.
Very differently. They're more vulnerable to dehydration, fluid overload, stuff you'll be monitoring constantly.
And then there's the body surface area thing. Kids, especially babies, have a bigger BSA relative to their weight.
Right. And the takeaway for you, that means more insensible fluid loss.
You mean like through skin and breathing? Stuff we don't really measure easily?
Precisely. So that, plus the immature kidneys, really bumps up their dehydration risk. Recognizing those early signs is a critical assessment skill for you.
Got it. Definitely something to watch for. And their bladders are smaller too, less control.
Still developing, yeah. And anatomically, especially in girls, the urethra is shorter.
Which leads straight to UTI risk, doesn't it?
Directly. It's a major reason UTIs are more common. And it means your teaching about hygiene is super important.
Okay, so all these things, faster metabolism, higher fluid needs, immature kidneys, the BSA, smaller bladder, shorter urethra, it all adds up.
It paints a picture of why kids are just more susceptible to fluid and electrolyte imbalances and, yeah, those pesky UTIs. You have to consider all this in your care planning.
Right. And our sources also mention how extracellular water changes with age.
Oh, yeah, that's important, too. Newborns are about 40% extracellular water, drops to maybe 30% by age one, and then around 20%, like adults, by age five.
So that affects how they handle being sick, getting dehydrated.
Absolutely. It guides your whole approach to fluid management as a nurse.
Okay, that foundation is super helpful. Now let's talk labs and diagnostics. What common tests will you be seeing ordered for pediatric GU problems?
Well, there are several key blood tests. A CBC, complete blood count, gives you clues about infection or maybe anemia. Then you've got BUN and creatinine. Those are your direct kidney function markers. Creatinine clearance is even more specific about filtering.
Right.
And electrolytes like potassium, total protein, calcium, phosphorus, they give you the broader metabolic picture. Understanding these values in a kid's context is, well, it's nursing 101 for this area.
And what about looking at the system? What diagnostic tests are common?
Yeah, imaging and other tests help us see what's going on. A urinalysis is usually step one, quick snapshot.
Okay.
If you suspect a UTI, a urine culture and sensitivity, CNS tells you the bug and the right antibiotic.
Makes sense.
A renal ultrasound is non-invasive, gives good pictures of the kidneys. Then there's the VCUG voiding sister etherogram.
That's the one for reflux.
Exactly. Uses contrast to see if urine is flowing backward during urination. Really important for diagnosing vesicoureteral reflux, or VUR.
Okay.
And sometimes a cystoscopy, using a small camera to look directly inside the bladder and urethra. Your role as the nurse involves prepping kids and families for these, explaining things, providing support.
Let's dig into some specific structural issues now. Hypospadias and epispadias are mentioned first. Can you break those down for us, focusing on what nurses need to know?
Sure. Both are birth defects affecting where the urethra opens. Hypospadias, the opening is on the underside of the penis.
Not at the tip.
Right. Epispadias is less common, openings usually on the top surface. For epispadias, the notes specifically mention double diapering.
Why is that?
It helps with hygiene after surgical repair, protects the area. So as a nurse, you're teaching parents about the condition, the surgery, and that specific post-op care, like the double diapering.
Got it. Then there's obstructive uropathy. What's the main issue there?
Like the name says, it's a blockage somewhere in the urinary tract. Urine flow is obstructed.
And that can cause?
Hydronephrosis. Basically, the kidney swells up because urine is backing up. Your job as the nurse is monitoring for things like low urine output, pain in the flank area, signs of infection, and getting them ready for any procedures to fix the blockage.
Okay. And VUR, vesicoureteral reflux.
Yeah.
You said it's linked to UTIs. Tell us more, like, how we'd explain it to parents.
Yeah, VUR is a big one. It's when urine flows backward, retrograde, from the bladder up the ureters, maybe even to the kidneys.
And that causes infections.
It's strongly linked. If a kid has recurrent UTIs, you have to think VUR. It's actually found in about a third of kids with UTIs.
Wow, that's a lot.
It is, often diagnosed around age 2 or 3, and it's more common in girls. Repeated UTIs are really the main clue. So you'll be educating parents about what VUR is, why finishing antibiotics is crucial, and the need for follow-up tests.
So for kids with VUR or other obstructions, what are our key nursing actions?
Assessment, always number one. Checking blood pressure is vital. Kidney issues often affect BP. Preparing the child and family for tests like the VCUG, explaining it in simple, age-appropriate terms, huge part of your job.
Mm.
Education on preventing UTIs hygiene, fluids, making sure they empty their bladder completely, and if they need surgery, then all the post-op care, pain management, watching for complications, the works.
Okay, let's shift to urinary disorders. UTIs, we know the risks, but how do they actually look in kids? It seems different depending on age.
It really is. That's a critical point for you to grasp. In infants, symptoms are often super vague.
Like what?
You might just see an unexplained fever. Maybe they're irritable, not feeding well, vomiting, diarrhea, sometimes even jaundice.
Not obvious UTI signs at all.
Not really, though sometimes the urine might have a strong or kind of foul smell. That can be a clue. You need a high index of suspicion for UTIs in babies with these non-specific symptoms.
Okay, so what about older kids? Do they get more specific?
They usually do. You'll see more classic signs.
Yeah.
Fever, maybe vomiting still, but also dysuria, painful peeing frequency, urgency, hesitancy, and pain, like abdominal or flank pain.
So you need to ask about those things specifically.
Definitely. When you take a history from an older child, ask about those urinary symptoms directly.
And for any child with a UTI, what's our core nursing management?
Well, thorough assessment first, always. Then teaching is huge parents, older kids, about hygiene, why they must finish all the antibiotics.
Even if they feel better.
Exactly. And recognizing signs if things get worse. Giving the antibiotics correctly and on time is obviously key. And supporting them through any diagnostic tests the doctor orders.
Makes sense. Let's tackle another common one. Enuresis. Involuntary voiding. When does that become a clinical concern and what causes it?
Right. Enuresis, or bedwetting, is basically involuntary peeing beyond the age you'd expect control, usually around 6 years old. What's important for you as future nurses is knowing it can have organic causes, meaning physical reasons, or non-organic ones.
Okay, give us some examples of organic causes.
Sure. It could be a delay in neurologic development affecting bladder control, or an underlying UTI causing irritation, maybe structural problems in the urinary tract.
Things you can potentially see or test for.
Right. Also, issues with the kidney's ability to concentrate urine, leading to more urine production at night. Certain diseases like diabetes insipidus cause excess urine. Even chronic constipation can be a factor. It puts pressure on the bladder. You'll be looking for clues pointing to these physical issues.
That's quite a list. What about non-organic causes?
Those are often more about behavior or environment.
Right.
Problems with waking up when the bladder is full sleep arousal issues.
Okay.
Other sleep disorders, like sleep apnea. Psychological stress is a big one. Family changes. School stress. And sometimes there's a family history, maybe a genetic link or learned pattern. Understanding both sides helps you provide holistic care.
And there's the typical order kids gain control.
Yeah, generally, yeah, nighttime bowel control first, then daytime bowel, then daytime bladder control. And nighttime bladder control is usually the last piece of the puzzle.
Good to keep that developmental sequence in mind.
Definitely. And treatment really depends on nailing down that underlying cause, organic or not. Your nursing strategies will follow from that diagnosis.
All right, let's move to acquired disorders that mess with kidney function. Nephrotic syndrome and acute glomerulonephritis, AGN. Let's start with nephrotic syndrome. Key points for nurses.
Okay, nephrotic syndrome. The two big hallmarks are massive proteinuria, tons of protein spilling into the urine, and hypoalbuminemia, low albumin protein in the blood.
And it usually affects younger kids.
Typically toddlers, yeah, around 2 or 3 years old. Mm-hmm. And often we don't know the exact cause. It's called idiopathic.
So what would make you suspect it during an assessment?
The edema, the swelling, is a big sign. It often starts subtly, maybe around the eyes, but then becomes really severe and generalized. Kids might seem lethargic, pale.
Okay.
And the urine, if you see it, it often looks frothy. It's from all the protein. Labs will show high lipids, low serum protein, especially albumin.
And nursing care. What are the priorities?
It's multifaceted. Diet is usually normal protein but low salt to manage the edema. Small, frequent meals can help with intake. Skin care is critical because that edematous skin breaks down easily.
Right.
Medications are key, often steroids to reduce protein loss, maybe diuretics for the fluid. Strict fluid restriction usually means careful INOs, daily weights, bed rest, but with frequent repositioning. You're central to managing all of this and teaching the family.
Okay, now AGN, acute glomerulonephritis. Different trigger, different symptoms.
Yeah, AGN often comes after a strep infection group, a beta hemolytic strep, the JBHS bug.
Like strep groat.
Exactly. So asking about recent illnesses is crucial. It's most common in school-age kids, peaks around age 7.
What are the assessment clues for AGN?
A history of recent strep, maybe 2 weeks prior. Mm-hmm. Edema is usually mild to moderate, often facial or periorbital, especially in the morning.
And the urine.
That's really characteristic. It often looks like Coca-Cola or tea. That's because of blood and some protein. They might also have oliguria, decreased urine output.
Okay, so that color is a big difference from the frothy urine in nephrotic syndrome.
Huge difference. Labs will show a high ASO titer, confirming recent strep, plus elevated BUN and creatinine. Blood pressure is often high too.
So nursing interventions for AGN, what do we focus on?
Monitoring blood pressure very closely is critical, giving meds like diuretics or antihypertensives. Strict INOs and daily weights for fluid balance, just like with nephrotic syndrome.
Bye.
Usually low sodium, maybe low potassium, depending on their labs. Bed rest during the acute phase helps the kidneys rest. And lots of teaching about the condition, diet, meds, and preparing them just in case dialysis is needed, though that's less common here.
Could you quickly just contrast AGN and nephrotic syndrome again? Just the highlights.
Sure. Age. AGN more school age, nephrotic more toddler preschool. Cause, AGN post-strep, nephrotic often idiopathic. Proteinuria, AGN mild moderate, nephrotic massive. Blood protein, AGN slightly down, nephrotic way down. AGN abrupt, mild moderate, periorbital. Nephrotic insidious, severe, generalized. Urine, AGN T-cola colored, nephrotic frothy. BP, AGN often high, nephrotic normal low. Hematuria, AGN common, nephrotic minimal. Labs, AGN high, ASO, nephrotic high lipids.
Perfect. That really clarifies it. Okay, last big topic, Wilms tumor or nephroblastoma. Sounds serious. What's the nursing approach?
It is serious, yeah. It's a kidney cancer, the most common one in kids, usually diagnosed around age 3 or 4. Slightly higher rates in African-American children, but the prognosis is generally good with treatment.
What might we see on assessment?
Could be fever, pallor, lethargy. Importantly, high blood pressure that can happen because the tumor might secrete excess renin.
Oh, interesting connection.
Yeah. And often you might find a firm, non-tender mass in the abdomen during assessment. Though remember what I'm about to say. Hematuria, blood in the urine, is actually rare.
Okay, so what's the critical thing, the absolute must-know intervention for nurses?
This is huge. You absolutely, positively do not palpate the abdomen. Ever. If you suspect a Wilms tumor, don't push on the belly.
Why not?
You could rupture the tumor capsule, spilling cancer cells, leading to metastasis. It's critical. We even put a sign on the bed, no abdominal palpation.
Wow. Okay. So besides not palpating, what else?
Lots of family support. It's a terrifying diagnosis. Preparing them for surgery, which is usually a nephrectomy, removing the kidney.
Okay.
And then meticulous post-op care, monitoring DP closely, checking kidney function with INOs, urine-specific gravity, watching the surgical site, managing pain, and providing ongoing emotional support through treatment, which often includes chemo or radiation too.
This has been incredibly informative, a really thorough deep dive for us as future nurses. Let's just quickly recap the main points.
Yeah, definitely. We covered the unique pediatric GU physiology, how kids handle fluids and waste differently. That's foundational.
Mm-hmm.
We stressed how infants often show vague signs for GU problems like UTIs, so you need that high index of suspicion.
Right.
And we broke down the key differences between UTIs, enuresis, nephrotic syndrome, AGN, and Wilms tumor, focusing on causes, what you'll see in assessment, and those critical nursing actions you'll be performing.
And your role as a nurse is just so central, assessment, spotting those subtle signs, educating families so they can partner in care, and providing that supportive, compassionate care.
Absolutely. Understanding these details is just vital for safe, effective pediatric nursing.
So here's something to think about as you continue learning. Beyond the clinical details, consider the emotional journey for these kids and their families.
Yeah, think about the fear, the uncertainty.
And how you, as a knowledgeable but also truly compassionate nurse, can make such a profound difference in their experience. Maybe this deep dive gets you interested in looking up specific care plans or even the latest research in pediatric nephrology. There's always more to learn.